Because just now we got one brother who needs some advice. So it's about 4 minutes. Okay, we will begin our puja. So you compose your mind. Maintain the faith, sadha, in the Buddha and his teaching. Then with this faith, you pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. There is a Buddha image behind. There is also a statue. Then there are a lot of other symbols that can allow you to recall to mind the great virtue, the great wisdom of Lord Buddha. And with that, you develop your mind, develop the sadha, the very strong faith, the confidence in him and the Buddha, through understanding how special the Buddha is and how wise the Buddha is. Okay, we will do that. Then we will recite the puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapama dathana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we will start. Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Sorry about last Thursday, because it was, I think, the last minute decision. We canceled the class because they say it was my birthday exactly, 31st. So because of that, I say okay, we take a rest. But somehow, a small group came in. See me, and we went for dinner. So it was a good dinner. We had some Dhamma sharing too. So anyway, today, I think, three new one. The other two, you had. Where's the other last one? Oh, good. You all meditate before? Oh, no. Okay, good. You know a little bit about the teaching, the Buddhist teaching? Ah, good. At least you have some background. What about you? You are totally new. But you are from Penang. Penang should have the Dhamma. Oh, you are KL boy. But you mentioned your parents are from Penang. Oh, you went to Penang to work last time. Okay, I get you right now. So you have any understanding of the basic teaching of the Buddha?
Yes,
sir.
Yes,
sir. Oh, okay.
I have
what? Oh, okay. What about the Four Noble Truths? You understand them? Oh, good. What is the first Noble Truth? Can you elaborate a little bit more? Because most people just say, first Noble Truth, suffering. Then they will say, life is suffering.
No,
okay. 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 At least you have slightly better understanding. Okay, maybe I make use of this opportunity tonight because there are some new people. So I will explain a little bit about the Buddhist teaching so that it can benefit most of them. And for those who have been around, you can take it as a revision. You see, the Buddha's teaching is very profound, very powerful, and very beautiful. And it is very, very important for humanity. If you want to understand life, you have to understand this teaching that he has proclaimed and expounded to us. The essence of his teaching is the Four Noble Truths. You heard of this, Buddhists always talk about it. But you won't be surprised. This Four Noble Truths, although it sounds simple, but it's very, very profound. This Four Noble Truths teaching that the Buddha proclaimed, actually, if you understand, summarize to you all of life, whether mundane or supramundane. When you understand this Four Noble Truths, you understand what life is. You understand the laws that governs all of life and existence, and you will know how to live. So that shows how important this teaching is. It's like you know the secret of life. If you don't understand life, you cannot live life. That's why our brother just now said the first Noble Truth talk about suffering. The Buddha never say life is suffering. He said there is a Noble Truth that speaks about dukkha. Dukkha, a lot of people translate it as suffering. But suffering is not the complete word. Then they also use another English word. They say unsatisfactoriness. All of your unhappiness, all of your misery, all your suffering is termed as dukkha. Understand? That's why the first Noble Truth, the Buddha said, in this world, in this universe that we live in, he said, there are 8 types of realities that you will encounter or confront as you go through life, if you live long enough. And this reality is something that you will actually witness as you go through life. And if you don't have the wisdom, he said, when you confront them, you will become afflicted. You will become miserable. You will have a lot of suffering. It will inflict in you a lot of mental agony, suffering. All of your fear, worry, anxiety, unhappiness, sorrow and lamentation. These are the outcome of this noble truth. Yeah. So the reality of life and existence is what the Buddha called the prevalence of suffering in this world. So the first noble truth highlights to you that there is a noble truth that explains clearly to you what suffering is. He said the 8 type of condition that can bring about suffering when you don't develop the understanding or wisdom to confront it, they are birth, old age, sickness, and death. This first 4 is very easy to understand, huh? Because we go through life, we have seen a lot of suffering that comes with birth, that comes with getting old, getting sick, and finally confronting death. So it's not an easy thing. A lot of people have a lot of fear of dying. That's why when you have a lot of suffering due to disease, due to old age, as you get old, all your senses will start to fail you. You will start to become more fragile, more sick. And when you go through life, when you are confronted with all this sickness, then suddenly, if let's say the doctor diagnosed you and confirmed that you have some very, very traumatic type of disease, straight away you are like completely knocked off. Your life is totally gone. You have so much fear. The fear is so intense and so real. The fear of death. The fear of that traumatic disease. Like cancer, nowadays there's a lot. Then you have all this kidney failure, stroke, heart attack, and all those things, countless HIV down the list. So this first 4, quite easy to understand and relate to. But the other one is more important, they say, when it comes to relationship. When there is separation from the one you love, when you have to encounter separation from your loved ones and the thing that you hold on to dearly, thinking that you own them, like divorce, relationship failure, when your children couldn't agree with you on certain things, then they separate from you through misunderstanding, argument, or whatever. Then you also have what they call separation from your wealth, your business, your property, all of the valuables that you hold on to and cling on to. When there is this fear of losing them because you make a mistake in your decision in life, in investment or whatever, or sometimes economic crisis, world crisis, or nature's disaster bring about a complete wipe off of what you have and what you own, like tsunami, earthquake, building collapse, fire, flood, and all those things. Then the other one is when you are with people whom you don't like. This can come in many ways. The Buddha said, in your career too, when you have superior or bosses that you cannot get along with, then when you are in a location where the people are not friendly, not easy to be with, then especially even in school, the kids are not even free from this. They are subject to bullies and all these things. Then there is also a lot of what they call child abuse, sexual harassment, and in the career field, you have a lot of very difficult people whom you find it so difficult to coexist with. So when you confront all this, how are you going to maintain your peace, your happiness? How are you going to confront life when you have such situation? So these are the realities that you have to reflect, contemplate, and develop the understanding and wisdom so that when you are confronted with them, you will not suffer. You will not become afflicted. You will not become miserable. So this meditation is about developing this understanding. The seventh one is when you cannot get what you want, because a lot of us have a lot of craving, desire, ambition, or what they call, we want things our way because we have certain views and opinion of how things should be and how our loved ones should behave. We expect people to understand us and love us and do all those things. So when they don't fulfill your desire or your wish, how will you feel? There's a lot of living being or human being, they couldn't really live life because they have so much of this first noble truth reality hitting them. Then of course there is the last one, the eighth one. The Buddha said, in short, this is the final summary, he said, it is through your delusion or ignorance or your inability to understand his teaching that condition you to deludedly grasp and cling on to this so-called human being. He called us, this human being, the five aggregates of form and mind, because he can classify this human being into five aggregates. First aggregate is the form. The first aspect of form is the human body, physical form. Then within the physical form, there is a mind. He called it the consciousness. And this consciousness is subdivided into four more aggregates, is it? Through this consciousness, through this mind, we can feel. There's an aggregate of feeling, hot or cold, you can feel. Then you can perceive whatever things that you can come to perceive through your senses, like your eye. Through your seeing consciousness, you can perceive all of the color, shape and form, all of the visible objects within nature. Then you can perceive through your hearing all of the sound, vibration, music. Then you can perceive all of the smell, the taste, the tactile. Then whatever your mind can perceive. So perception is another aggregate of mind. So the Buddha said you can feel, you can perceive. Then you can have thought, thinking. The third one is Sankara, activity of mind, thinking, mental reaction means you create mental intention. You can create through the mind mental states, emotion, all the various mental states. Sometimes you are agitated, sometimes you are restless, sometimes you are peaceful, and sometimes you are full of joy, happiness, and sometimes you are very sad, very sorrowful, full of lamentation. Then if you meditate and become very peaceful and very calm, then you can develop the piti, the spiritual joy and all those things. These are the higher state of mind which are more peaceful, more refined, more rewarding. And all these are possible as opposed to the negativity state of mind. Then the last one is of course the aggregate of consciousness. You can become conscious of things. The mind can make you conscious of what you see, conscious of what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and what you tactily feel. So the Buddha says, you deludedly cling and grasp onto this five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that they are real, thinking that this human being is you. Then this wrong view, self-delusion, will condition all of your suffering. So the first seven can be summarized into the last. So we meditate to understand this human being, who you are, what you are, what is this five aggregate of form and mind all about. If I attach and cling, do I suffer? So this first noble truth already so useful. It can actually create the urgency in you that you need to really, really train your mind and develop this wisdom before you confront life. Otherwise, you will become miserable. That is just the first noble truth, prevalence of suffering. The noble truth that talks about the reality of life and existence that will condition your suffering and misery if you don't have the wisdom. Then second noble truth, the Buddha said, there is a cause behind all of your suffering. And the cause is craving, your attachment, your clinging, your grasping to your five aggregate of form and mind through your delusion. So this one, you can put to test. Every time you check, you can find out for yourself whether what the Buddha said is true or not. If you attach to this body, what happened? What happened? You have fear. You worry about it. You worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying. That's why you think this is you. There is delusion. Then there is fear. There is worry. There is anxiety. You attach to all of your feelings. You like pleasant feeling and you dislike unpleasant feeling. This is the cause of your suffering. Your like and dislike trickle off the duality. Yeah. When you cannot get what you want, the opposite arises. When you can get what you want through attachment, you will suffer because everything is condition arising. It's not eternally the same. It changes in accordance with condition. When condition ceases to be, all of the good things will cease to be. Like death, sooner or later it will happen. If you don't want death, what happens? You attach to good. When this good condition ceases to be, you become afflicted, miserable. So that's why suffering doesn't mean unhappiness. Suffering means when you attach to something, it can trigger off suffering. Even you attach to all the sense, desire, the good experience of life, like good food. Then when you don't have the condition to have them, you become afflicted, miserable. You become unhappy. You react to it. You get angry. So that's how suffering comes about. So attachment to beautiful states of mind can also lead to suffering. It doesn't mean that only misery is suffering. No. Any attachment can trigger off suffering. So when you understand what suffering is and the cause behind, these first two noble truths can help you so much in life. It can help you understand clearly what suffering is and the cause behind. If you know what suffering is and the cause behind, you can manage your life so much better. You are no longer so deluded like before. People suffer without understanding why they suffer. That's why they are caught. They get entangled with life. That's why they cannot come out of it, because they don't have this teaching. They don't understand what is suffering, and they don't understand the cause behind. So if you understand what is suffering and the cause behind, you can use your understanding to reverse all this. That's why the Buddha continued with the teaching. He said, there is a third noble truth that talks about the possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now. He said, cessation of all suffering is possible. It can happen. There is a noble truth that talks about it. Can be realized. This noble truth that talks about the end of all suffering or cessation of all dukkha leading to enlightenment, which is nibbana, can arise, and it is possible. So the third noble truth is the most important. The Buddha said suffering need not be. If you have this understanding, this wisdom, this enlightenment, so you only need to work towards this understanding and enlightenment, then you already have the wisdom to live life, and all of life will be taken care of. That's why the teaching is very unique and very beautiful. And then he continued, he said, he didn't stop there. He didn't just tell you that it's possible and never tell you how to do it. He said there is a fourth noble truth that explains clearly how you can develop the ability to become enlightened. He said there is a Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, you will realize the enlightenment and it will lead to the end of all suffering. This is the meditation. This is what we are interested in. This is why we come here to train our mind, to develop this ability to understand this teaching, so that we can put it to practice, so that we can develop the wisdom out of that cultivation, so that you can liberate your mind, free your mind, so that all of suffering can cease, so that you can confront life, all of life, whatever reality is that come by, you are no longer afflicted, not like before. So this is a very brief summary. So I hope it benefit those who are new. Okay, now I will give you instruction to train your mind to develop the meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. For those who are new, if you are still not familiar with how to train your mind to develop the ability to meditate, then I will give you some instruction. Okay, we will off the light. It will be more conducive for you to meditate. Okay, thank you. First, you have to train this mind so that this mind is peaceful, so that this mind is just silent and aware within. The normal mind that is not trained think a lot, has a lot of hindrances within, the Buddha said. And this five hindrance I have written on the board. Later on, second session, maybe I will touch on it a little bit. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor or sleepiness, restlessness of mind. Last one is doubt. So these five things, when they arise in your mind state, you will not be peaceful anymore, because they hinder your mind from becoming peaceful. So you must cultivate the opposite five, the Buddha said. The opposite five is Sada, which is confident in the Buddha and his teaching. Just now in the puja, I already teach you how to do. You recall to mind the great loving kindness and great compassion of Lord Buddha and the great wisdom of Lord Buddha. Then if you understand how wonderful and special his teaching is, your faith and confidence in him will be very strong. So that's how your faith can come to be. Then if you really develop it strongly, the second spiritual faculty, which is virya, or the spiritual tenacity to follow his teaching, to cultivate his teaching, to go the way he advises, will be very strong too. And that is the second spiritual faculty. And once you have sadha and virya, you will want to meditate. And to meditate is very simple. First thing you need is to train your mind to be mindful, to be aware, to be silent without thought. For those who understand and can do it, it's very easy. But for those who are new, who does not understand, it may not be so easy, because your mind is not trained. The untrained mind thinks a lot, has a lot of hindrance inside. So you have to reverse all these hindrances through cultivation of the opposite five. We call it the spiritual faculty. When you have faith, it's very good. It helps your mind to calm down, compose. Then when you have virya, you won't be sleepy. So when the sadha is there, your mind will not be restless. There will be no more doubt. Then when you have virya, no more sleepiness. And the third spiritual faculty is mindfulness. Mindfulness you can cultivate in many ways. First, the bowing. When your body and mind move as one without thought, and that is the deed of mindfulness. So whatever you do, body and mind move as one without thought, and that is mindfulness. But initially, you cannot do it because your mind thinks a lot. The hindrance causes you to think a lot. The hindrance is the one that prevents your mind from becoming peaceful, from becoming mindful or aware. So what we will do is, we will teach you a technique to reverse all the heedless thinking that you have been unknowingly entangled with. This heedlessness comes about through daily life activity that you perform without understanding, through your own ignorance, through your own lack of understanding, because you keep on arising the hindrance of mind that condition you to be heedless. So what I will teach you is a special technique called mind sweeping method. So when you do this training of the mind, you just feel and relax. You don't think. So you just make sure you got a stable posture. Make sure your backbone is straight. Then relax body and mind. Close the eye. Then you maintain awareness or attention at your forehead. Feel your forehead. Feel. Just feel. Don't think. Feel. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just silently relax, relax and relax every part. Feel the forehead soothingly relax. Then you move your attention to your eye muscle. Normally after a tired day, your eye muscles are quite tired. So again you feel them and relax into them. Feel them soothingly relax, relax and relax. Then you move your attention to your facial muscle. Feel, don't think, just feel. Every strain of it. Every cell within it. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Relax and relax. If you find it not so easy, then we use a skillful means. We try to radiate this radiant smile. You can visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile in front of a mirror. Visualize yourself smiling, radiating a radiant smile with a lot of happiness and joy. When you can do that, your facial muscle automatically relax. Because when you can smile, means there is joy, there is happiness. You are relaxed. There is no stress, no tension. That's why you radiate a radiant smile and feel your facial muscle relaxing. Then you combine with loving kindness, which is a very good mind state that will make you very calm and very peaceful. Then you can recite metta or loving kindness following what I recite. You start with yourself. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. When you recite, you feel it with your whole emotion and feeling. Just feel. May I, this body and mind of mine, feel your body and mind, the entire being, all of the cells within. Well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire physical being and mental being, your entire body and mind. Then you continue to recite. May I, this body and mind of mine too, be free of all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. You feel yourself physically and mentally free of all suffering. May it too be free of all harm and danger. May its mind too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May it always keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to your loved ones, somebody you have a lot of love and affection for. Could be your parents, your brothers, your sister, your good friend, or somebody whom you have real affection, respect, and gratitude towards. May my loved ones to be well and happy. Well and happy. You can radiate this love from your heart. You can visualize them radiating a radiant smile. Then you direct your metta force or energy from your heart to them. Then you feel the well-being and happiness within their form and mind to their body and mind. Then you can recite, like what we did just now. May my loved ones to be well and happy, well and happy. Feel them having this well-being and happiness deep within from your heart and radiate to them. Then may they too be free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it without physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be free from all negativity, without enmity, without ill will and on trouble. May they always keep their mind state happy and peaceful. May they all too be well and happy always. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within their hearts. Then you can relate this same metta to all beings within this vicinity of Siyan and Mifong's house, and all Kayanamitas and Dhamma friends who are meditating. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unseen and unseen, all to be well and happy, well and happy. May all Kayanamitas too, all Dhamma friends, co-meditator and cultivator too, be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger, free from all negativity of mind state. May their mind too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, without fear, without sorrow, without lamentation. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this same metta to all other beings throughout the entire universe. May all beings within the entire of this Subangjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, solar system, our galaxy, and the entire universe. May they all to be well and happy, well and happy. May they all to be without enmity, without ill will and on trouble. May they always keep themselves happy and peaceful. May they to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they also have good mental state that are free of all negativity. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm, more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, and then you feel it is now more relaxed, more peaceful. You just feel relaxed, don't think. Then you move your attention down to your neck, feel relaxed, shoulder, feel relaxed, hand, feel relaxed, back to shoulder. Again, you relax every part within you. Then you move your attention to your heart area or your chest area. You just silence your mind and feel. If you can detect any vibration or any heartbeat, just stay there, silent. To develop the silent mind. But if you are new, you have not trained your mind and you are not able to do it, then it's okay. You just feel the heart like you feel your forehead feel, then relax every part around it. Then you move it down, sweep it down to your stomach. Do the same, feel and relax every part. Then you move it down to your abdomen. Again you feel. Then you relax every part within your abdomen. You do the same for your buttock, then your leg. Then you can reverse this whole process from your leg backward. Feel your leg. Relax. Just feel and relax, don't think. Then you move to your buttock. Just feel. Relax. Abdomen. Feel. Relax. Stomach. Do the same. Then your heart. Back to shoulder. Head. Neck. Facial muscle. Relax every part. Then you move it up to your eye muscle, relax every part. Then your forehead, do the same, relax every part. By now, your mind should be more calm, more peaceful, more settled. You just silent everything, no need to do anything, silent. Maintain silent. You can do that, will be very good. But if you can't, then you need to train your mind further. You need to stabilize this silent mind by anchoring it to an object of meditation. The Buddha has recommended our breathing, the breath. He called it Anapanasati. Anapana is in and out breath, sati is mindfulness. So Anapanasati is mindfulness or in and out breath. So you just feel your breathing, like you feel your forehead. Maintain attention in front of your nostril and feel. The moment you detect your breathing, allow the mind to move simultaneously with your breathing. Yeah. Allow the two to synchronize without thought. So like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware, means breath and the mind move as one without thought. You just have to train yourself doing that by anchoring this mind to the breathing. The breathing is always with you, always within the moment. So you can develop this anapanasati to be aware of your breathing, then you are always within the moment without thought, in awareness. Initially, if you are new, it's not easy. You can find out yourself. Split second, your awareness is gone. You are lost in thought. But don't worry. Be patient. Silently bring the mind back, the awareness back, to just be aware of this breathing. You can expect the mind to wander off many, many times. Sometimes they even say can be up to 1 million times. So if you just patiently train, relax and be aware, then very fast this anapanasati will start to function on its own. The mindfulness of in and out breath will arise on its own. So just have patience, train your mind to just do that. Every time wanders off, bring it back, relax and feel, then aware. Then when you can do it until you are very stable and very skillful, this anapanasati can bring about a lot of good states of mind. It can bring about calmness, peacefulness, leading to what they call spiritual joy or piti. Piti is the first outcome of a trained mind. When you can train this mind and anchor it to the breathing in anapanasati, it will become very peaceful, very quiet. Then piti will arise, a type of spiritual joy, spiritual rapture. Then you will like to meditate, you will absorb into it, and you continue to relax and allow this piti to be. Then it will transform into what they call sukha. Sukha is a more refined state of piti. Sukha is a bliss, a type of bliss, very blissful state. When you experience sukha and piti, you will like to meditate because these are extraordinary mind state. Even all of your mundane happiness cannot compare, because this one is born of a peace deep within. When the mind is free of thinking, no more thinking, no more thought, and then it will arise. Then you continue to silence your mind, relax further into it and allow it. Then this so-called sukha will transform further and develop what they call the silent mind, the tranquil mind, the stillness of mind. This is a very important state. When you can do that, your breathing will slow down. Everything within you, your mental activity and physical activity will slow down. Your breathing will become more and more subtle, more and more refined, clear. Then your anapanasati also same. Your mindfulness also same. Will become more and more refined, more and more stable. Until pasati. Pasati is another very good state of mind. It's an enlightenment factor. It can arise when your mind reaches the state of stillness or tranquility, when there is no thought. Not through concentration, just through the silent mind being aware. When you can get that, when pasati is stabilized, means your mind is already in sati on its own naturally. Which means you don't need any object of meditation to make you peaceful anymore. You don't need to anchor the mind to anything anymore. The mind that is in sati can be aware of everything that you want to be aware of. You can place your mind anywhere within your form, or you just silent. Everything will become clear to you. So you just continue to train your mind this way. Then when your mind is trained, the silent mind is the meditative mind. That is the mind that can develop the vipassana meditation, the insight. That is the mind that can insight into the characteristics of nature, impermanence, suffering state and non-self. That is the mind that can understand a lot of things. Okay, now I'll let you continue your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Okay, you can continue with your meditation. still want to meditate, you can continue. Put yourself in now slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain your silent inner awareness for as long as you can. The mind that is trained is very useful. The mind that is trained is very peaceful, very calm, silent and aware within. It will listen to you. Then you can use it to meditate. It is fully at your command. Just like you train the dog, you ask it to sit, it will sit. So your mind is the same. If it's trained, you say you want the mind to be silent, then it will be silent, peaceful, and just relax away with it. So such a mind, you can use it to meditate. You can develop this silent mind to be aware of everything that is going on within your formed mind, your life, so that you understand how you live your life, so that you also understand how you get yourself entangled with life, how you become miserable, how you become sorrowful, how you become fearful and unhappy. Before all this happened, you were like normal, understand? Then what trigger? You will start to develop the awareness. Before you train this mind, you cannot understand. You just react to life. You just go about heedlessly living life. The mind that is not trained suffer a lot. The untrained mind is heedless, the Buddha said. It's like a devil's workshop. You know what is a devil, Very evil person. Means the devil take over your mind. It's like his workshop inside Iran. He create havoc for you. That's why you constantly go through life without this awareness that can actually bring about understanding, to allow you to come out of all this suffering and misery. So the key point about meditation is to train this mind so that it is just silent and aware without thought. But to live life, you need to use thought. So you have to walk that very thin thread between awareness and the arising of thought. But when you are aware, you will be able to see how your thoughts arise and how they get themselves entangled, how they latch on and cling and hold on to so many things in life. All the external phenomena were like very real to you. Your mind just grabs onto it, hold on to it, give meaning to it, and react and become miserable. But the mind that is trained has this awareness to see clearly what is going on. Then through the awareness, it starts to reflect clearly and understand what is going on. And through the understanding, the wisdom can arise and tell that form of mind, life need not be this way. That's why the Noble Truth is so clear. If I deludedly cling, grasp and hold, suffering is the result. Now that I know this is the cause of suffering through my wrong view, through my ignorance, through my selfishness, my emotional negativity and wrong view, the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion will arise. And when it arises, it is the root of all evil. I become evil. And when you become evil, what happens? The law of karma take over. The Buddha said, this law is a very impersonal law, nature's law, that governs all of your action and speech and thought process. When you act, speak and think with a deluded mind, a heedless mind, that don't have the right view with regards to this law, the Buddha said, suffering will follow you. just like the wheel that follow the hood. That's why you will have a lot of misery, suffering, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Many things in this world can afflict you and cause you to become miserable. One phone call can make you miserable. One bad news can make you miserable. One event can make you miserable. So you should inquire deep. How come as human being we are so fragile, so vulnerable, so easily become afflicted? It's because you lack understanding and wisdom. You don't understand this truth. So if you understand this truth, the nature's law, the spiritual aspect of nature's law that governs life and exists, especially the law of karma, then you come to know you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. So if I arise the evil roots through heedlessness, through ignorance, through delusion, I become evil. So when you become evil, law of karma take over. You reap what you sow. Whatever suffering and misery you afflict onto people and yourself, through the nature's law, it hit back at you. But if you have a lot of goodness, kindness, love, compassion and wisdom, and then all this virtue, all this wholesome state of mind, all this understanding will protect you. And because you have virtue, goodness, kindness, generosity, these are all very wholesome mind state, free of all the evil roots, then you become a very, very good person. Such a being has good karma, the Buddha said. Good karma means good blessing, good life. You reap what you sow. When you are kind to people, appreciative of what people has done for you, when you have a lot of love, generosity and compassion, a lot of kindness, a lot of goodness, blessedness, you will be rewarded similarly through the nature's law. People will know that you are sincere, you are honest, you are kind, you are very loving and compassionate, and people will reciprocate back, and people will acknowledge all of that and reward you back in a similar way. So that, like the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. So goodness begets goodness, evil begets evil. That's why when you know that there is such a law, such as law of karma, you will be very careful with your karma. So in order to take care of karma, what must you do? You must avoid all evil to good. That is the advice of the Buddha. You come here to meditate, to train your mind, to have this ability to be aware of all of your actions, speech and thought process, the mental intention behind every speech that you arise, every action that you want to do, every thought that you want to arise. If they are evil intention, mental intention, the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion are there, then suffering will follow you in accordance with the nature's law. But if you don't have all this, then you can avoid all evil, the Buddha said. So in order to avoid all evil, you must train your mind to be very mindful, to be aware that it is free of all these evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Greed, the meaning is very deep. All of your selfishness, craving, desire, attachment, clinging, grasping, they are all greed. Hatred, it is also very wide. This evil root of hatred includes all of your negative mental states, like your envy, jealousy, your anger, your emotional negativity, your dislike. Of course, hatred is the main one. So when your mind state has a lot of this violent emotion, anger, hatred, envy, and jealousy, you are evil. You can do a lot of evil things. You can cause to kill, harm, deceive, cheat, and do all those things. So the evil roots are the roots of all evil, the Buddha said. In order to be free of them, you must cultivate the opposite three. You must cultivate generosity, so that you will not become greedy and selfish. Goodness, kindness, benevolence. Then you must cultivate love in order to counter anger, hatred. Then you must cultivate wisdom, which is bhavana, meditation, to develop the wisdom to counter delusion or ignorance. So dana, sila, bhavana are the three things that you must cultivate. Dana is generosity. Then within dana, you can actually reap a lot of wholesomeness. All of your wealth, your materialistic wealth, all of your so-called gain that you want, you need this parami of generosity. The nature's law is such that the more you give to your own nature. Then when you come in future, when there is condition, you will receive them because you reap what you sow. What you give come back to you. What you selfishly take will disappear from you. You have to reap. Sometimes you not only pay back one for one. Depend on who you cheat and who you deceive. It can be more severe than compound interest. You have to pay back manifold. Then sila is morality, keeping your precept. Those who can keep their precepts, they are very mindful of their actions, speech, and thought, so that they don't violate these moral laws. Your five precepts: abstain from all killing, abstain from all what they call stealing, taking things that don't belong to you, abstain from all lustful things, sexual misconduct and all those things, then abstain from telling lies, cheating people, deceiving people, misrepresentation, backbiting and all those things, then abstain from partaking intoxicant that can cause your consciousness to go down. So when your consciousness is very weak, you become like dull. Then through that dullness, you become heedless. You can break all the other four precepts. So because of that, you need to keep your sila, your precept, your morality. Out of love and compassion for you, the Buddha recommended that every day you renew your precepts so that you remind yourself of the evil and danger of breaking this precept. The moment you violate this precept, you create evil. Law of karma will take effect. So if you can maintain this precept, it will allow you to avoid evil. So the first advice is to avoid all evil, you have to maintain the precepts. That's why precept is a prerequisite for cultivation of mind, for development of the higher understanding of his teaching. So in order to do meditation, you must have dana parami, means through all the generosity you make aspiration. You invoke the power of merits for causes and conditions for you to go the way of Dhamma, so that you will avoid all the foolish made out of the wise and the enlightened one, so that you can have the condition to become enlightened. Then through this Dana Parami, you keep your precept. That's how you avoid all evil. Then you meditate Bhavana. When you meditate, you train your mind to be mindful and aware. Then you start to see your mental intention behind. Then you start to develop the ability to truly avoid all evil. Then do good. Initially, you need the four right effort to constantly cultivate. The right effort to abandon the wrong thought, the wrong speech, the wrong action that has the evil roots within. Then the right effort to prevent the arising of any wrong thought, wrong speech or wrong action that has the evil root within. Then the subsequent two right effort is to cultivate goodness, wholesomeness. Right efforts to promote and cultivate the right speech, right action and right thought that are still not in you. Then the right effort to refine upon and perfect those right thought, right speech and right action that you have already developed. So the four right action, the four right effort is a very important initial cultivation. To cultivate the initial wisdom needed for you to avoid the serious evil action, speech and thought. Then after you have developed the right effort to purify your thought, then you silence your mind through meditation, bhavana, to develop the inner awareness, the silent mind, to understand what is going on, to see the clear Dhamma, to see things as they are, so that you can understand clearly how you become afflicted, how suffering comes to be, how through wrong view you are conditioned into heedlessness, and how through the heedlessness the evil roots come to be, then how the five hindrances come to be, and how you get entangled and become miserable. And all this you will see them very clearly. Then you start to see how your mind functions, how it arises and passes away, how consciousness come and go, how within the content of consciousness that arises at the moment of sense experience, through wrong view, lack of wisdom, you react and get yourself entangled. Then you will see clearly within your own form and mind how the Four Noble Truths really manifest. You see clearly what suffering is. You see clearly the cause behind of its arising. Then when you meditate and have this ability to allow your mind to be silent, you start to see glimpses of cessation. Then later on, as it stabilizes, the wisdom purify and bring about the appropriate condition for enlightenment to arise. Then after that, you will come to know all this is possible because you have the teaching, because you develop this silent mind, sati, leading to heedfulness, apamada. Then when you have sati, and when you use it to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, it becomes heedfulness, it becomes apamada. And that's how the meditation actually come to be. So the final part of meditation is, after you train your mind to be aware, silent, you stabilize that mindfulness, then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And that is the real meditation. So the daily mindfulness is the last part of the cultivation. When you develop daily mindfulness to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, that is the real meditation. All those that you do in formal meditation at the beginning, they are just part and parcel of training the mind, mainly to train the mind. So formal meditation has its purpose, but it's not the real meditation. The real meditation is life itself, daily mindfulness. Okay, with that, maybe I will open it up for the second session. Second session is a Q&A, question and answer session. You can also report your meditation, then I will guide you along. Okay, now anybody wants to report their meditation or ask any question? How is your sitting today? Can you sit? Oh, leg. Oh, okay. Very normal because you are not used to crossing your leg. Have you sit cross-legged before? First time. So not easy to endure. You see, the key to the sitting posture is to relax. If you are not relaxed, the numbness will come, the pain will come. But if you can relax, like those people who do yoga and all those things, because they train, they relax, and they just silence their mind, then they can actually become very flexible, they become very peaceful, very calm. So sitting meditation is the same. It's a very simplified version of like yoga, because you need to relax body and mind. That's why before I start, I say, just make sure you have a stable posture, then backbone straight, then relax body and mind. Then after that, you start to train your mind through the mind sweeping method to actually decondition your heedless thinking. Because throughout the day, when you live your life as a lay person, if you are aware, you will see what happened in life. You realize throughout the day, you actually become very heedless. You think a lot. You have a lot of issue in life. Your like and dislike, your pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, your reaction to life. They almost happen continuously throughout the day. And the Buddha said, when you do that, you are really heedless. Heedless means you are not aware. You're totally not aware. You totally don't understand what is going on. A heedless person is because they don't care about life. They just do what they like. That's why they are very heedless. So the Buddha said, these five hindrances, you look at the whiteboard, the five mental hindrances, these are the things that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. And what are they? The first two is sensual desire and ill will. You know the word, sensual desire means what? Desire of your senses, your sense experience. The thing that you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel or think. If you like that sense experience, you have a desire for it. Means your like, your pleasant experience. So whenever you do that, what happened to you? Your mind get distracted by it. Because it draws you away. Means your mind is preoccupied with that sense experience, no longer aware. It is preoccupied with the experience of that senses, like the thing you see. If you don't like, you react and get unhappy. Understand? Unpleasant sense experience. So, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience are your sensual desire and you will. And they constantly arise in you, especially within your own mind state. So when you constantly react to life, to everything you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel and think, what happens? It becomes habitual. This habit makes you miserable. Means you become like a robot, mechanical robot. Your habit, people just say something, you react already. So get angry, especially relationship between your husband and wife. And if your friends or your colleague that you don't like, you perceive them with negativity. So you see only you don't like them already. And that is ill will. Then some people whom you like or you have attraction for, you desire for their relationship and all this. So whenever your mind do this, what happens? It gets distracted. It's no longer aware. It's preoccupied with your like and dislike, your emotion. And you are not able to become peaceful because your mind cannot be with the moment without thought. Not preoccupied with any sense experience. Can you have an equanimous mind that doesn't need to react to things? Whenever people say anything, whether they scold you or abuse you or say something bad about you, can you just be peaceful, smile, and understand why they are like that? Human beings cannot. They react and get very angry, emotional. Means what? Your emotion inside you depend on the outside world. If people are friendly to you, good to you, you become peaceful. If people are unfriendly or difficult, you become afflicted. So you are like very easily hurt. That's why I say human beings are very fragile, very vulnerable. Your happiness, your peace, easily shattered. Somebody just come and say something, or one phone call come, you gone already. Fear already, emotional already, unhappy already. Then you go back, you think. Even before you go back, you already think, get angry. Miserable, why this guy like that? Why he like that? How come he do this to me? Then you get angry. When you get angry, whatever, you want to plan how to take revenge, how to do back to that person. And all these are evil root. Root of all evil, make you more evil. You cannot have the wisdom to accept them for what they are, to understand what is going on. Because of delusion and ignorance, they react. So if you behave like them, you can be afflicted by them, means you are no different from them. Understand? But if you have developed the understanding and the wisdom of this beautiful teaching, then your mind is different. You will have the spiritual faculty on the opposite side. When you have faith, when you have the spiritual zeal or virya, your mind is very calm. You are very composed. Then after that, your mindfulness, you can train your mind to be just aware without thought. That is how you become peaceful. When you are just aware without thought, you are very peaceful. But your habitual tendency, your hindrance, make you react. That's why you lack mindfulness. You cannot become peaceful. And it's like that because you don't have samadhi, the fourth one. The fourth spiritual faculty is when you are aware and mindful without thought, you stabilize this, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi means the mind that is collected, unwavering. The fourth one, samadhi. That's why there's a red arrow, unwavering or collectedness of mind. So when your mind has samadhi, when you have very meditated, train your mind and is very stable, mindful without thought and stable, then you have samadhi. And you can carry that spiritual faculty with you throughout the day. What happens is, every moment of sense experience, the next time when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile, feel something, or think of something, the mind with samadhi will not waver, it will not stir, it will not be afflicted, you will not react like before anymore. You will just smile and accept the reality of the moment. You can see things as they are very clearly and without delusion, without ignorance. You are very beautiful. That's how you can maintain your composed mind. You can maintain your composure of peace, happiness and joy within. Your peace is independent of outside. No matter what people do, what happened to the world, you are still peaceful. Because you understand the laws that governs life and existence. Each and every one of us is subject to the same law. It's an impersonal law. That's why I told our brother just now, he said, after understanding what karma is, he said, he feels like karma is torturing him, making him miserable. I said, nobody can make you miserable, understand? Because this law of karma is a nature's law, a very impersonal law, understand? It just operates on its own. It's not like somebody with a purpose and intention to make you miserable, understand? Like a live wire. You know what is a live wire? If you touch that live wire without insulation, you will get electrocuted, isn't it? Correct? If you know that law, are you so foolish to touch it? The initial shock will actually wake you up. You will never touch it again. Because the surge in the voltage, especially high voltage, can actually almost kill you, shock you, fry you. So, this nature's law, life wire, is not a person. It never say if you are virtuous, kind, you touch, I won't electrocute you. If you are evil, you touch, I electrocute you. No. Whether you are evil or not evil, you touch, nature's law, it happens. So the first noble truth that talks about suffering, also subject to this law, law of karma. So this law of karma is like a life wire. Except maybe it's not so potent. Every time you touch, it shot you. So every time you go against this nature's law, automatically you react and you get into trouble. So you entangle yourself because you don't understand this law. Through ignorance, you keep on touching it and keep on getting shocked and become miserable without knowing why. And that is exactly how human beings suffer. But they didn't know it's a life wire. They didn't know it's a nature's law. That's why they keep on getting angry with themselves, angry with others, through what? Through selfishness, through delusion. And this is evil root. Evil roots are root of all evil, make you evil. When you are evil, you condition negative karma. And law of karma say you reap what you sow. So whatever evil that you inflict upon people and yourself, through the law of karma, it will come back to you. When there is condition, you will be afflicted. Sometimes not only this life, it can carry on to subsequent future life. That's why a lot of people come to this world and complain. Why is the world so unfair? Why is God so unfair? Why me? It is not unfair. It's because you don't understand this law. In the past, you did all this to people. You never questioned why you do this to people. And now people do to you, you say, why people do to me? Because when you do to people, you create the cause for it to arise in the future. So in the future, when there is condition, you become the victim and you get it back. That's how you look at life. How come everyone is so different? Why your life like that? Other people's life not like that? Then sometimes you say, how come he born so lucky? Nothing to do with luck. Because the Buddha make this very powerful explanation on this law of karma. He said all of living beings, not only human beings, we are all born of our karma. Heir to our karma means you inherit all from your karma. Conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are every moment and every instant because of your karma. You cannot blame anybody for what happened to your life, for what happened to you. 99.999% karmically driven. So if you want to take care of karma, what must you do? Because you know this law is so powerful. Our life depends on karma because we are born of it, here to it, conditioned and supported by it. And we are what we are every moment, every instant because of this law. You don't believe? You go and check. And I can tell you, 100% true. Because this nature's law, I saw it very clearly since the early days when I started my cultivation. Then later on, it keep on showing it to me. Cannot run. Never worthwhile to violate this nature's law. When you break your precept, it show it to you. Immediately, the effect come back. Yeah. And sometimes it's immediate. Yeah. Then sometimes it take a while. Yeah. Then sometimes it take many lives. Yeah. It depends on your chitta, means mental intention. Yeah. There are 7 thought moments when you make a decision in whatever action, speech or thought process that you arise. So within that 7 thought moments, it depends which thought moment it went in. Yeah. If it's the first thought moment, then it's only applicable this life and the next life. If it's the last thought moment, it is also not so potent, also this life, next life. But if it's between 2 to 6, it can carry on for eternity. Yeah. Because that one, the karma will remain very long. Mm. So, all these are nature's law. Yeah. It's nothing to do with belief. It's understanding them, like law of physics, chemistry. These are nature's physical law. Biology, biological law. These are scientific law, physical and biological. Then there are spiritual law, law of karma, law of the mind, law of truth. All of truth that governs life and existence. So the first two, physical law and biological law, the scientists are very, very advanced. That's why they progress very fast. You are able to reap all of the good outcome of science and technology. So that's why you see the last 30 to 40 years, our civilization evolved. And we are indeed very fortunate to experience all this good aspect of scientific progress. Yeah. Likewise, if you understand the spiritual law, just like what Lord Buddha has managed to develop the wisdom to understand, if you can also penetrate this law of karma, law of the mind, and the law of truth, the 3 spiritual laws that governs all of life and existence in this universe, then you are like a great scientist, very powerful in your understanding of these 3 laws. Then spiritually, you are very wise. Then like the scientist, you can do a lot of things. You can come up with a lot of understanding and invention. And you can improve your life tremendously through this understanding. So, right view that the Buddha talked about under Noble Eightfold Path, the first path factor is to develop the right view with regards to this nature's law that governs all of our life and existence, especially the law of karma and the law of how your mind functions. He teaches it under the 12 link, dependent origination, paticca-samuppada. So this will allow you to understand how your mind functions, how you get entangled, how you get yourself deluded, and how through that delusion it conditions you into negativity, suffering, misery, and all those things. All of your fear, worry, anxiety comes from your ignorance. So this is how the hindrance of mind can make you really miserable. We only talk about sensual desire and ill will. Third one is sleepiness, sloth and torpor. When you don't see the importance of cultivating this meditation or cultivating this understanding or wisdom, you will become very sleepy when you meditate because you don't see the importance. Like you attend a lecture. If you like the lecture, you will be wide awake. Understand? If you cannot understand and don't like the lecture, you feel so sleepy inside that. So that one is a hindrance too. When you are sleepy, you cannot understand. The fourth one is very powerful. Restlessness. Human beings' mind is full of restlessness throughout the day. When you have problem in life, when you have worry, fear, anxiety, your mind becomes so restless. You don't even have the mood to eat. when your friend come and call you up, and, hey, let's go for tea or lunch or what. Hey, I got no time, I got something to attend to. You totally don't have mood to do anything when you have suffering, problem. And the problem is the one that you deludedly create yourself through your own ignorance. Problem is only a problem when you fail to understand what is going on. When you perceive life with negativity, then it becomes a problem. Because through that wrong view, you create your own fear, your own worry, your own anxiety. As I just now, I was trying to explain to the brother who came and talked to me. I say, you must understand what is wrong thought. Wrong thought are thoughts that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sadness, your misery, your unhappiness, your selfishness, your anger, your emotional negativity. These are all wrong thoughts. So if you know that these are all wrong thoughts, means next time, whenever you have fear, worry, anxiety, remorse, sadness, unhappiness, then you know you are thinking the wrong thing. You are arising the wrong thought that condition the evil root to make you miserable. What are wrong thought? Thought that has selfishness, thought that have envy, jealousy, thought that have fear, thought that trigger of worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow and lamentation. Means through delusion, through your wrong view, you think wrongly. You cannot accept the reality of the moment. You cannot accept people for what they are. You want things your way. Your views are very rigid. And you are very, very, what they call, deluded. That's why you cannot have this type of understanding. So the meditation is to allow you to see all this through your own awareness. When you train your mind, you will have this awareness within to be aware of what is going on. Then you no longer heedless. The moment you are aware, you cannot be heedless anymore. You only heedless when you are not aware. You know why or not? Because when you are aware means what? No thought. No thought means no evil root. No fear, no worry, no anxiety. No sadness, no sorrow. It is true thought, wrong thought, that condition you to grasp and cling and hold on to things and give meaning. So why can't you just silence your mind and just be aware and find out what is going on? So without thought, you realize you are peaceful. The moment you start to use thought without understanding, wrong thought trigger of suffering, then you come to know. It's actually not the thought. Thought is neither good or evil. Like money. You know money. A lot of people don't understand. Money is the root of all evil. You believe or not? You believe? No, you ask yourself, money is neither evil or good. Money, you know how to use. The user of money is very important. If he's a kind person, generous person, he uses money wisely. Money becomes wholesome and good. Correct? Donate to charity, help people. But if you use money in the evil way to hire assassin, to kill, to rob, to rape and do all those things, and then money becomes evil. Means the use of money is important, understand? If the use of money is evil, money becomes evil. So your thought is the same. If the user of thought is deluded and evil, that thought becomes evil. Understand? That's why you must meditate to develop the wisdom so that you know how to use thought. Then thought becomes beautiful. Understand? That's why you arise under Noble Eightfold Path, right thought, leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood. That's how you become beautiful. That's how you become a blessing to all. Understand? A person with right thought is incapable of negativity. They are not selfish. They don't have craving. They don't have desire. They are not able to become angry, emotional. They don't have envy and jealousy. And they don't have fear. And they don't have this negative tendency to deceive and cheat. That's why people with right thought, they are very wholesome. They are very kind, very compassionate, full of wisdom, full of understanding. They are not evil. But evil people has a lot of wrong thoughts because the evil root condition, wrong thought. That's how they get into trouble. Understand? And this is nature's law. So that's why you need to train this mind to have wisdom, to use thought, so that you know how to use it wisely. Use it to arise all the happy thought, understand? Thought that can make you happy, peaceful, calm, generous, kind, loving, compassionate. Not to arise the thought that have fear, insecurity, and make you violent. Understand? Thought that have selfishness, that's why you want to kill, you want to harm, you want to cheat, you want to deceive, you want to do all those things. And these are wrong thought because you are evil, you have selfishness, that's why you want to cheat, deceive, and harm. You apply thought wrongly. That's how when you get angry, you scold people, you abuse people, you use wrong speech. Then all of your action, you plot it according to your wrong view. Understand? But if you have right view, right understanding and wisdom, just like the live wire, you will never go and touch it anymore, is it? So evil root, you will not allow it to be in your heart anymore. That's why the Buddha said, you must not have any selfishness in your heart. You must not have any anger, emotional negativity in your heart. Because people with a lot of anger, this is an evil root. People with a lot of selfishness has a lot of evil root. Because this is the root of all evil. That's why you must take it out. So when you forgive and forget somebody, what happened? When you forgive means you no longer angry with that person, isn't it? You take that anger out, that evil root. When that anger and evil root is no more, you become peaceful. You no longer think until you hate that person so much. Understand? All this comes from your wrong thought. Keep on thinking, that guy make me so miserable, I want to take revenge. Next time I see him, I will do it. So it becomes what? Like a cocoon inside. That's why you become depressed. You enter depression. You think a lot. And you think and think and think until you become a cocoon. You always think within that circle, the cocoon of wrong thought. Because you will get angry at that person. You hate that person. And sometimes you hate yourself. You hate yourself because you got a lot of remorse. How can you do that? Means what? You don't love yourself. You know what is loving yourself or not? When you love your child, means what? You don't harm them, you protect them. So loving yourself is the same. You don't harm yourself. Understand? You will protect that person you love. But human beings never love themselves, most of them. You know why? They keep on harming themselves and hurting themselves. You know what they do or not? Of course, I'm not talking about those who commit suicide only. A lot of people inflict themselves with a lot of suffering. Understand? When they get angry, they bang the wall. That's what they do. Then they think the wrong thought until they are full of suffering, full of misery, full of fear, worry, anxiety. This is using thought wrongly to harm yourself, to hurt yourself, to make yourself miserable. That is really stupidity. That's why the Buddha say you are very deluded. There is no sane person in this world, when they understand this, will continue to use their thought wrongly to harm themselves and hurt themselves. But 90% of the world's living being is doing that. Using their thought to harm themselves and hurt themselves, and harm others and hurt others. Because you don't know how to use thought. Like money, use it wisely. Why do you use it to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and abuse others, and hurt others? This is what the teaching is all about. Right thought, leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood. To have right thought, you must have wisdom as well. The user of thought must have wisdom. You must have understanding. That's why thought is neither good or bad, wholesome or unwholesome. It depends on the user of thought. The user of thought is you, understand? This form and mind, this consciousness. This form and mind, if it's without wisdom, it becomes evil. Naturally, automatically. But once it has the understanding and the wisdom born of direct seeing, meditation, this form and mind is totally transformed. Different. Because you understand, no point doing all these things. They even know how to use thought appropriately, beautifully. That's why you will have what they call right speech. What are right speech? Kind, pleasant, and gentle speeches that bring about harmony, love, understanding, as opposed to what? Angry, selfish speech. So when you are angry, it's because this personality is angry. This personality is selfish. That's why you scold people, you hit out at people, and you say very sarcastic things. Hurtful speech. Harsh speech. Even your own children, you can scold them like that. Your good friend. Sometimes misunderstanding between parent, brother and sister, you can become so evil. Using all the wrong speech and become violent. You act out of delusion. And this is what living beings don't see, because they never train their mind to be aware, to be heedful, to develop the wisdom and the understanding through reflection and contemplation on their actions, speech and thought, on what they do and how they get themselves entangled in life, and how they become miserable. If you are not interested in all this, means you are not serious about life. If you are not serious about life, don't blame anybody for your own misery and suffering. If you want to be good at anything, you must take it seriously and train yourself. Then only you can be good at it. That's why I do not take meditation lightly. Do not take this training of the mind lightly. You must seriously, actually, diligently cultivate. Make haste in cultivation. Like they say, what they say, while the sun is still there, make haste, what? I forgot the saying. When you want to dry the what? When there is sunshine, very good. Make haste when there is sunshine. Don't wait until rainy day. Rainy day, want to put out to dry also cannot. Because you every time think, wait till I retire, I cultivate. But you never retire. Then you say, wait till I have more time, I cultivate. But you never have time. Because through delusion, you continue to work and work and work until you forget about your life. You work for money. Then you lost your health. That's why without understanding and wisdom, you actually suffer. Okay, 10:30. We should end. So today, I forgot, there's one question. Related. Okay, how to deal with feeling of guilt and remorse? I think his question. So I just answer this. Give me 2 minutes. You see, guilt and remorse is about your thought. Understand? It's not a reality. Things happen already. Gone. No more reality. Past is already gone. But through your thought, you go and think about it. Worry about it. Create your remorse and guilty feeling away. What are you doing? You are arising the wrong thought to harm yourself. Understand? Or? To make yourself guilty. To make yourself remorseful. What type of mental state is that? Are you happy? Are you peaceful? You become miserable. Isn't it? Why do you want to blame yourself? Thing is already gone. Past is already gone. Move. Leave. Means what? Moment to moment. Life passes by. What are you doing? If you are not aware of the moment, you cannot live life. Human beings' problem is they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about their life. So much so, they never live. Because they're hardly aware. They always think, worry, plan. Then try this, try that. Working very hard. But they never have a moment of peace. They can never be silent. To be with the moment in full awareness without thought, to experience the moment, to experience the beauty and wonders of life within that moment. And that moment arises and passes away very fast. But if you don't have thought, if you have a silent mind, then you can be with the moment and appreciate all of the beauty and wonders of life, and life becomes so beautiful. Every moment is so wonderful, so beautiful. Because without thought, there is no fear. The moment that is without fear is so wonderful, so peaceful, so meaningful, so full of joy, love, and compassion. You can just silent and be at peace. Why do you want to think? To arise order, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, the guilt, the remorse. All these are wrong thoughts. You are moving away from the reality. The reality is this moment. This is the only reality. Why are you going to worry about the future and think of the past to make yourself miserable? And this is not loving yourself, hurting yourself, harming yourself to wrong thought, making yourself miserable. Asana. And when you develop this meditation, this understanding of the Dhamma, all this you will understand. And you can never do that anymore. Because you will see very clearly these are not the reality. And the reality is this moment. Every moment I can be so beautiful, so peaceful, so happy. Why must I choose to be miserable? Through what? Through my delusion, through my fear, my worry, my anxiety, my heedlessness, my lack of understanding. That's why wisdom is very important. Understanding is very important. This is the only thing that frees you. Nothing else. That's why you should count your blessing to have encountered this teaching. And this teaching is very rare and very difficult to understand. But for those who are sincere, diligent, who really cultivate, it's not that difficult. It's actually quite easy. Because when you see and understand, it's so easy. It's just like flip over, is already there. It was never lost, understand? You cannot see because you are clouded by your thoughts. You are clouded by your wrong thought, the hindrance. You don't have the spiritual faculty. You never develop them. You don't have mindfulness, siddhi, and samadhi. When you have mindfulness and samadhi, you see things as they are. Wisdom will arise. Understand? You see the truth, the reality. That's why you see things as they are, not what your thought tell you. Understand? Not what your conditioned state of mind tell you. Not through your belief system. Understand? Not through your rites and ritual, your tradition. That's why your mind is so free, so different. Nothing in this world can confuse you anymore. Nobody can come along, hey, you cannot do this, no. You do this, bad luck. You do this, the evil spirit will come and disturb you. Oh, you have fear because you don't understand. Then you tend to believe what they say. Because you cannot understand who you are, what you are. You cannot understand the nature's law, how it functions and how it works. That's why all this has the ability to cause you confusion, delude you, and condition your mental suffering. Okay? Can I understand? I hope it helped you. because he was having a very, very emotional remorse and guilt. So he felt it so badly because he thought he caused his parents opportunity. Because of something happened, they sold off the condo, according to him. If they had not sold, this condo would have worth millions. So the word is if, which is not a reality anymore, understand? So whatever that is not a reality is just a thought created through illusion. The reality is here and now, this moment. You want to do anything? This moment. Understand? Whatever that you confront in life, you can resolve it if you understand this teaching. When you don't attach, you are not deluded. You just do what you have to do. Understand? And the advice of the Buddha is very simple. Avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind. You do these three, your life is taken care of, perfect, beautiful. And all of the understanding will come. Okay, we will end. Okay. I will do the sharing of merits. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca ammehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to the departed one and those who can receive them. Idang me nyatinang hotu sugita hontu nyateyo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyateyo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all do be well and happy always. Okay, we invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatukalena. Sasa sampati hetu ca vitto bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the ruler, be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end.
Thanks to Brother Sian and Sister Mipo for giving us such a conducive environment to practice tonight.
Wow.